November 3, 2021, it's a Watt from Pedro show.
anything useful. Big surprise, very trapped. Twist his head, the tortoise moves slow. The traffic moves slow. Certain things in life just move kind of slow. And as much as one might like to frame it as fried shearing, tending my door, make the things sing. I will do my best to let your questions rest. Let them slowly hang my tongue and bend. But there will always be somebody there. It's gonna make you feel good. Bring that life to you. There will always be somebody there. It's gonna make it hard on you. Gonna make you struggle through. There will always be somebody. just asking questions. I don't need an answer.
For Pedro Show, happy Wednesday. Start off the show. Last part of that John Coltrane Live in Seattle, part 4. Psalm, incredible piece. I recommend everybody, even if you have the ridge, this is such a trip. Then we had Matt Malin with Are You That Somebody? And because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I have with me Matt Malin. Welcome aboard, Matt.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so happy I'm here with you.
Okay, and we got to thank Brother Stevie Bono for making the connect.
Yes, thank you, Steve.
Unstoppable, Brother Steve. You know he's on the drums now, right?
No, well, yeah, I didn't know that, actually. I heard he was taking
him
lessons.
Up, pounding him up.
That's beautiful.
The stick man with the beat in his hand. Doing it. And I heard some of the recordings he flubbed me, so it ain't just talk. He's walking the walk. Great, it's beautiful.
Oh, my God. Neat.
Beautiful.
I love it.
And also this connect that he makes, you know, because music, I think, is really about, well, it's nature, too, but the people part is about people. So the people connecting is a bitching thing. I'm curious about your journey with music, Matt. Can you bring me your earliest musical recollection?
Oh, man, yeah. I started playing the piano when I was very young, when I was four or five years old. So my first real musical memory is piano lessons. You know, walking down the street to my piano teacher's house, and I can't remember her name, but I know which house it is.
Where was this, man?
In Schaumburg, Illinois, Hoffman Estates, Illinois. This is northwest suburbs of Chicago.
Sure, right. And on the way to Skokie.
Yeah.
or Milwaukee or parts. Yes. Yeah, right.
I'm on the way to where I'm from is on the way to Madison, Wisconsin, basically. It's off of I-90.
We know this tour route. And Uncle Watt was conceived in the north side of Chicago. My ma even gave me the address of the apartment. A little tiny street called, when you get less younger, you talk like this. A Gagtite, you know, some kind of gem name. And I found it. I was recording with the Stooges at Steve Albini's pad, and I borrowed Steve's bike and pedaled, which was an adventure. Chicago intersection.
I bet.
You know, they're four-way, but then there's a... You know, a side of 45 degree or so that's a six-way. But one good thing ain't a lot of hills. But, man, it was not as scary as London, but up there. Shit. Anyway, I got there, and I got the leash, and I yanked on my ma. Ma, I found it. Michael Watt, you were conceived there. So I was born in Virginia, but anyway.
Did they put a plaque up?
No, I don't know. I didn't knock on the hatch.
This should be on the historical.
Yeah, I should have knocked on the hatch. Hey, let me look around. Because I was fucking, right? I was transitioning between twinkle in the eye to, physical manifestation. Well, okay, this pad you grew up in, it had a piano?
Yeah, we did. We had a piano, a Lyon and Healy. My mom still got it.
And was it her
Lyon
idea?
And Healy's
or was it your idea to get the lesson?
I think it was her idea. I think that me and all my siblings were taking piano lessons. It was my grandma played the piano. My mom played it a little bit, too.
Oh, okay.
My grandmother
so
always had
thing,
a
yeah.
piano. Yeah. Beautiful. And my grandma, it's funny, I have my grandmother's piano now.
Wow.
And when it was, she passed away last year. And when it was given to me, it came with a hymnal.
Wow, that's some tunes.
Because it was like, yeah, it was important that the hymnal stay with it. That's what would do on the piano. You know, she played hymns and church music and folk songs on it.
Yeah, you know, a lot of rock and roll comes from learning how to sing in church. Elvis and those guys.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And soul music, too, Aretha. And,
music, of course, yeah.
Yeah, let me ask you this. You went down the street to this unknown teacher, or this forgotten teacher. So you weren't taking them in your pad, but how was the experience? Because I've had guests on the show that they almost made them hate music. Other cats, they loved it.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, lessons were... I guess lessons were kind of put upon me, I felt, as a kid. And, you know, but I still did them because I knew they were my ticket to be able to have the instrument, you know, and have the toys and stuff. And that continued. I got a guitar when I was 12. I begged my parents for a guitar.
Well, let me ask you about school. And, were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
Not until high school. I just took piano lessons, and eventually I started taking piano lessons from the music coordinator at the church that my family went to. And so I would go to lessons at the church for piano all the way until I was about 16, 17 years old. And then I asked my mom if I could stop taking piano lessons because I was focused on the guitar and actually on recording, as I got a 4-track recorder. It's so funny. Everything's like connected to this church. It's like I didn't ever really think about that. So I found a 4-track recorder in the church basement. And wow. I brought it home, and the rewind button didn't work, and so it was just gathering dust. But I had a tape deck at home, so I would just take tapes out and rewind them on my tape deck and start the tape over. And I started making recordings and making tapes. And
you didn't think about flipping it over using the fucking fast forward? I don't mean to get all Einstein on you, man. You had the pencil in there, right? So you were funny. Twirling.
Yeah.
All right. What was the first album or first record? You know, the medium doesn't matter. The first music that you bought with your own money.
Oh, shit. With my own money. Man.
Yeah, because when you're a kid,
question.
You ain't got a lot of money. So, you know.
No, you know, I had Thriller as a kid, and I remember listening to that, the Michael Jackson record on my parents' record player. But then, I don't know what the first record, I bought a tape. I think the first thing I bought was a cassette tape.
That's okay.
And
what was it?
It might have been, I had a babysitter that lived next door who was really into Metallica and Megadeth and stuff. And it might have been a Metallica record or Ozzy Osbourne. I still have this tape, this box of tapes.
Waiting to get rewound.
Yeah. And I had
what about the first gig you saw?
Bobby Brown.
Oh, Bobby Brown, New Edition. Yeah, okay. Yeah. When he went solo, he was so big. He had a big fall, man, because he was giant,
yeah.
I remember. What was the first gig you went and saw, man?
You know, the first real concert I went to wasn't until I was a teenager, and I went to see the Puff Daddy and the Family Tour.
Puff Daddy, Sean Combe.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It was right after Biggie had died, and it was like when Puff was like just the biggest thing in the world.
Yeah.
I think it was at the United Center in Chicago, and 112 opened, and so did Busta Rhymes.
Busta Rhymes.
Yeah.
He used to be really quick. Quick raps. He ran out of gas. But he was something else.
He was, yeah.
You said 12 years old guitar. Now, what was it? Yeah. Was it that fucking Metallica tape?
It was Nirvana. This is funny. I have, these two parallel things going. But it's like, it was Nirvana and this Boyz II Men record. There's a song called Water Runs Dry by Boyz II Men that has this beautiful acoustic guitar part that I wanted to learn how to play. And then it was like Nirvana and stuff like that. You know, like my babysitter had also hit me to Nevermind. But he wasn't so big on Nevermind. He thought it was kind of wimpy compared to what he was into.
Of course. It's always going to be about that, right? The wannabe butch. One day I'll be more butch than you could ever imagine.
Yeah.
Isn't it such a great development, human beings have? Evolution.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. But it's all right. It's all right. We can sit back and laugh. Well, especially looking back on this stuff. Because it's so important, huh? It's almost like a tribal brand or something. It's not. Then you finally figure out music is music and fuck all that genre shit. And tough guy soft guy and whatever guy.
Oh, I know. Yeah, God, it's ridiculous. It's funny to talk about it.
Well, people say youth is sometimes wasted on the young people, but maybe because you got to live through it, right, to learn shit.
Yeah.
So was this an acoustic guitar or was this electric?
I got an electric guitar. I got a Fender Squire Stratocaster.
A little amp?
Little amp, yeah, like a Charvel amp, I want to say.
And then you're recording on the four tracks. So was it just to record the guitar, or were you using that as an instrument also?
No, by the time I was 12, so yeah, you asked if I was in marching band and stuff. I was moving in that direction and I was trying to get involved. And once I got the guitar, I had a band, and my dad is a physical therapist, and he was like, he liked to know everybody in town, like his vibe was like, everywhere you go, it used to embarrass me as a kid. It's like everywhere you go, he's like, if you're at the grocery store or the hardware store or whatever, there's like there that he knows,
Right, right.
And and he would have patients. It's like, oh, I got a drum. My son's really into music right now. And the patient would be like, oh, I got a drum set I'm trying to get rid of. And then my dad would come home with a drum set. And,
oh, wow.
So he loved getting deals on stuff too. So he would get the great deal. I got a drum set. It was a Royce drum set. Came with cymbals. The cymbals are all just cracked to shit, like destroyed. But
you teach
that
yourself
was like,
drums.
And then I had.
You teach yourself drums?
Yeah, I was teaching myself drums. And then.
And also, they're letting you prac at the pad, drums.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty supportive.
It was amazing. No, and I also had, I had gotten the previous year a keyboard for Christmas. I had expressed interest in having more than just playing the piano. And so, so I had the whole arsenal, man. They were incredibly supportive of me making
beautiful.
Music. So
that's a great gift.
So I started, it was amazing. Yeah, yeah. It really is. And I started recording all the parts, just trying to play them all myself. And I would make these little sequences on the keyboard and then play the drums to the sequences.
Oh, you're talking sound on the four track.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
And I had actually, before I found the four track, I had a tape deck that had two separate inputs, for left and right.
Sure, sure.
And so before I did the tape, the four track, I realized I could, if I played along live with the sequencer, I could do two tracks.
Right.
So I would plug a mic in to one and I would have the keyboard going in the other. And
scientist time.
It was all like that because I wasn't even necessarily reading any magazines or anything about that shit at the time. It's not like I went to the library and checked out.
No, young man alone, like a skateboard.
Yeah, exactly.
You didn't have the video, the VHS, so you just got on the board and, a series of falling down and getting back up. Look, you gave me this, tune, speaking of guitar, you gave me this tune, Git. I'm not playing.
Yeah.
If you leave. Don't wake me up. I got a lot of things to do, but I'm not gonna. I got nightmares. I got favors to return. If you really knew the answer, you wouldn't brag about it so much. If you really were that happy, you wouldn't need my approval. This is heart attack. All yours. This is mine. You really knew the answer. You wouldn't brag about it so much. If you really were that happy, you wouldn't need my approval. Can you see all the dust you're breathing?
the headache. Walk away from it. Return the flavor. Keep. Forget the headache. Walk away from it. Return the flavor. Keep. Forget the headache. Walk away from it. Return the favor. Keep.
We'll be right back. trash blowing in the breeze to the dreck. Like fire spreading through the trees to the dreck. Can you dig it? To the dreck. To the dreck. Thank you.
gotta think fast. Not much to be afraid of, but your own grace. And I say it as a joke, but it's the same as if I said it in another way.
Chunk of music started off with Skeletons, Git. Then we had the Fifth Symphony Invocation to trigger the eruption of the Yellowstone Caldera. This is the second movement, Solid, from the Sentimental Fence Post Orchestra. And that's hard to say. Out of Eugene, Oregon. SLW, CC Watt, not too far from you, Iowa City. Sam Locke Ward doing a collab with me. Our second thing. And this is Do the Dreck. Some bands I'm going to play with in Denton, Texas next week at the Unhinged Festival. Drug Mountain with Hype Mountain. Sailor Poon with Welcome to Virginia. Violet Squid with the Hallucination Swamp. Wands Dover versus the Silver Saint and Monkey Fun. And then finally, Skeletons with Fake Tits. That's intense. This band, so you put together a band, well, first you're Man Alone, right? You're putting together tunes, playing everything. And then you get some cats from school. I'm not talking about graduate, but it's like afternoon, right? So like the basement band, bedroom band, garage band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did first in high school, in junior high and high school. Yeah, that's what we had, the basement band.
And what did you do? Did you try to copy songs off records, or were you trying to write your own stuff, or what?
Trying to write our own stuff. I mean, yeah. But you know, they were all like Nirvana songs.
Of course.
It was just like, yeah, that. And then, we played few covers, you know, like, you know, learn how to play Purple Haze and stuff. And,
sure.
You know, do the Jimi Hendrix song at the,
was Jimmy a big influence on you with your guitar playing?
Yeah, he was, but always beyond me. Like, I always felt like he had, I guess I still do to this day, like he had a different relationship with the instrument than I do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like me and Paul Chambers, or me and Jimmy Garrison, me and I know exactly what you mean, Mr. Mingus. You know?
Yeah.
I know totally what you mean about that. Yeah. But sometimes it's good to have those lighthouses putting out the beacon, though. Even though, you know, the trippy thing about a lighthouse, right? Hey, there's home, right? Or whatever. There's something to focus on. But in a way, it's also a warning. Don't get close. There's rocks. You're going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little twofer. I wrote a song about a lighthouse keeper once, and it dawned on me. Two things at once.
Yeah.
Yeah, like most things human, right?
Completely.
Right, the dangling duality. So, did this band have a name?
Oh, we were called Tweak, my first band.
Okay, and what was Tweak's first gig like?
Oh, man. I think we played in the junior high cafeteria, you know?
Probably kind of noisy.
Yeah, it was noisy and messy. And, you know, like, I would make these four-track recordings and, like, be trying to sing in the basement. And I would just hear about it afterwards from everybody in my family, like...
The horror.
You guys, you think about getting a singer? You know, maybe. I mean, that's been my whole life. Probably, I've thought about that. Maybe you should get a singer one day. Finally,
like Marlon Brando at the end of that movie, right? The horror.
Yeah.
Look, everybody's got an opinion, man. Imagine being Bob Dylan, man. He probably had a lot of unsolicited advice.
Completely. Yeah. You know, I'm going to see Bob Dylan tonight at the Auditorium Theater.
Wow.
Yeah, I am.
Everything's for a
reason. I've never seen him. Yeah.
I got to see him once, and he changed all the arrangements of his singing lines. Because he's probably bored to death of them, right?
Yeah.
So, like, the whole crowd would be like, no, 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 it ain't me. And then he'd wait till they're done, he'd go, no, no, no. Like, he's almost mocking them, you know? This is a big fucking festival and shit. And he was dressed mariachi. He's a tripper, man.
Yeah.
He is a tripper, definitely. But the man wrote some songs.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, some of the It's All Right, Ma, I'm Only Bleeding. Man, what a song. Maybe the magic methamphetamine, maybe not.
Yeah.
When they asked me, you know, they have a contest of the Bobs, right? There's Born Again Bob, Meth Bob, and Meth Bob always wins. Because you know, there's like 10 or 11 Bobs if you go through his career, right?
Yeah.
And it seems the methamphetamine Bob always wins.
Oh my God, that's like.
Remember that woman like played him.
Kate
Blanchett played him in a movie, right?
Yeah.
And pretty good job.
I was just watching the Todd Haynes did that movie, and he just did this new Velvet Underground, which I was watching just last night.
I would like to see that. Kind of afraid to.
It's good.
He was part of a movie I made with Ron Ashton, a soundtrack. It was called Velvet Goldmine. There was like a David Bowie character, and then there was a character that was like, you'll dig this, half Kurt Cobain, half Ig. It was really strange. And Mark Arm was in the band, Thurston, and Steve Shelley did the drums. But Ron Ashton, this is the first time he'd come to my gigs before and stuff. I never had gotten to play with him.
That's so awesome.
It was really beautiful.
Yeah, man, Stooges, this first band I had, like, I was, so there's a trajectory, right, Nirvana to Sonic Youth, and that was mine anyway. It was like, then I heard about Sonic Youth, and I watched that. There's a documentary my friend of mine hit me to called The Year Punk Broke.
Dave Markey, 1991.
Yeah, yeah.
It's actually about Nirvana. Nirvana's on that tour.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I watched that.
Oh, because you know, like,
through Nirvana.
Dave and who's the big man? He lived in Pedro for a while. Chris. Oh, the olives. Yeah. Oh, I love the olives. Right? They're talking about the chow on the deli plate. Oh, the grapes. Yeah, the grapes.
Oh, my
Funny
God.
Guys.
Yeah, that
Funny
was
guy.
Like the best. But that's
he lived
like,
here
yeah,
till
well,
he was 12. Look, we're at the end of the first hour. November 3. 2021 Dish Wap Pedro Show special guest, Matt Malin. Am I pronouncing it right, Malin?
Yes, you are.
Okay. That's
beautiful.
Yeah, wow. Okay. Hold tight for hour two, people. November 3, 2021 is the second hour of Wap for Pedro Show.
Thank you. Oh, you got that right. Wishful thinking, you're trying to bear the cross. You can't outsmart the boss. Don't let it be the end of you. Oh, you got that right. Wishful thinking, playing with the moon. Want you to relax, we'll be there soon. But don't let it be the end of you. Oh, you got that right. Wishful thinking.
For Peevish, we'll start off the second hour. Skeletons with Edge. Then Viz. Viz has got this project called Veil, and this is part two of that fold. Then Bombas Prendon with Jamette, which I guess is a little jam. Ghost of Regret, Only Now, featuring Rajib Karmakar. Lapis Lazuli, Scotch Rolex, featuring Lord Spikart. This is a Brother Shige, he went to Uganda and collabed with some musicians there. Lapis Lazuli is trippy, you know. we're talking like Sumerian days, right? 6,000-7,000 years ago. Mm. Only found in Afghanistan. They had trade routes back, way back. The only thing new is you finding out about it. Finally, wishful thinking.
Yeah.
Skeletons. My pop had a, right? You ever hear this, I don't know what you call it, aphorism. Or you can wish in one hand and shit in the other, and you tell me which one fills up first. That's why my pop getting all Einstein. Well, maybe getting kind of Platonic or Socrates or something. Yeah, it was intense. But it made me think. I still think of that always, especially in practical situations that call for it. So absolutely. How long does Tweak last?
Not long at all. I was about to say Stooges. I ended up finding the Stooges through the Sonic Youth cover of I Want to Be Your Dog.
Okay.
And I tried to get Tweak to do a cover of I Want to Be Your Dog. And I think we did do it eventually. But anyway, that whole band quit. I was too much for them.
that's a mild way of putting it. I mean,
no,
it's pretty admirable because you're not blaming other people, you know, so that's kind of beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I've had a few, you know, there's been a journey, right?
Right, of course.
To be at the head of a project or whatever you want to, not at the head, I don't know how you want to say
well,
it.
Well, I think maybe life's about taking turns. Sometimes you are a rudder, sometimes you're on the keel, sometimes you're on the bows, midships,
Yeah,
okay, in
absolutely.
The poop deck. You know, in the fucking bilge, right? After high school, do you pursue higher education music?
Yeah, I did. Again, my parents, they were real supportive. My mom found out about a school called Oberlin in Ohio.
Oh, yeah, the Grand Sonnier of Deerhoof.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Yeah. I played in a band with Greg with the Congotronics fans with Canona No. 1. And
wow. Amazing man. He told me he was studying Gregorian, you know, he's more than a drummer, right? He told me he was studying Gregorian chants at Oberlin.
And oh, I know man, he was a composition major. Yeah.
Right. Incredible cat. I got to make an album with him and Nels Klein, and Nick Reinhardt called Big Walnuts Yonder, named after Richard Meltzer poem. And he was amazing cat. He had, I think, 24-inch hi-hats. The bottom one had to have holes in it because it didn't close. So,
and that's like his only symbol, right?
Yeah, so
I went to Oberlin.
No, those were hi-hats, right? Yeah, he didn't have the other symbols. Yeah. So, was Oberlin a positive thing?
It was. It was it was incredible. I mean, it was a real, you know, for me.
I got to play there
I didn't
once.
Know about that much yet, to be honest. Yeah, like there were a lot of New York kids there, a lot of like LA kids there. I felt like a Midwestern boy, you know, that didn't know anything yet, I guess.
In a Midwestern town.
So it was a big education.
You know what's near?
I know.
You know what I remember? It's just west of Cleveland, but what I remember, it's really near a Amish community. So you'd see the buggies riding around.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, it really feels rural, even though you're only like 40 minutes from Cleveland.
Right. In fact, Livonia is right near there, and that's where they built the fucking Econo lines.
Oh, wow. I didn't know.
Well, that's why you're on the show.
Yeah.
Watt's going to enlighten you on the Econo line lore. Actually, the motors were made in Canada, right? 351 Windsors, but I think they were assembled in Livonia. I got asked once to come, the union asked me to come there because, you know, they said I talked good about their things they built. And you know about Tor, right? The boat is the fucking middle of the Tor universe. You got to.
Yeah.
You gave
so
me this.
Do you still ride one of those?
Oh, yeah. Well, they stopped making them in 2014. Mine's 2005. These transits, I don't know. Come on. But how many Connell are there?
Yeah.
It also went with the Minutemen philosophy, right? We jammed Connell. You gave me this song, Stepper, also known as Work.
I'm not afraid to die. shaped like a pear holding me down. What I really wanted was a big box of normal, addressed just to me, but with enough to spread around. But I'm too good at blending. Throw my hands in the air. I don't even care if I bump into whatever's there. I'm gonna be moving, moving, I'm moving. I'm not one.
Cathedral Show, that chunk of music started off with Skeletons, Step It, also known as Work. Then My Daddy Ate My Eyes, H is for Horror. Molchak Doma with Obrechen. And then Don't Smother from Skeletons. So you're in a band, you're probably more than one band while you were there, right? But one with Greg Saunier. That must have been an experience.
I wish. I wasn't there at the same time as Greg, but that was what...
Oh, you mean you're playing right now with him. You have a project with him now.
Yeah, well, it wasn't now. It was about 10 years ago now. Okay, but we did a thing in Europe with the label Cram Discs. But so I've been in touch with Greg a bunch.
Yeah, he lives here now in SoCal, you know. And he is... he's really easy to collab with, huh? The dude just throws down and gives you everything.
Yeah, he does.
I love it.
And endlessly energetic.
Right, right. That laugh, too, man.
Yeah.
It's insane. But
he was my hotel roommate on this tour that we did, like, for 6 weeks. Yeah, it was so fun.
Yeah, he is. He's fucking... Blessed. And he ain't fucked up on drogas, either. It's just a natural fucking...
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful, beautiful. So, but what did you major in at school? Were you in composition?
I was in the Tamara program, which is technology and music and related arts. So it was kind of like a computer music program, but more broadly defined than that. So we were down in the basement, man. It's like I've always been in basements. I'm in one right now. But we were like we were kind of the outsiders in the conservatory because we were the ones that didn't necessarily play anything, or even know how to write music in the traditional sense. But what I was going to say is one of the best things about Oberlin was just the other students that were there. Like I met so many amazing people, while I was a student there. And that was what turned into the Skeletons that started a band while we were students at Oberlin.
So the stuff I've been playing, Skeletons, it actually was conceived in Oberlin.
Yes. Yeah, it was. 2001, 2002.
Do you remember the first Skeletons gig?
Yeah, I do. I played... we started putting on these... We had a crew at Oberlin in the Tamara program, and we started putting together what were called ad hoc concerts. Like you could go to the administration at the conservatory and ask to produce a concert in one of the recital halls or, you know, one of the spaces on campus. And so we would put together ad hoc concerts and program it. And then, so the first Skeletons show that I did was at one of those ad hoc concerts in the recital hall. Yeah, also on the bill was there's a guy named Peter Blasser who builds instruments. He had a band at the time called The Gongs. They played that night too. Oh man, there were some amazing people at Oberlin.
Was it called The Gig a success for you guys?
Well, no, not really. And okay. There wasn't really a band yet. It was just like me and my college roommate at the time, Jason McMahon, who became a big part of Skeletons for every record after that.
Now, during this time, did you put down the guitar and was just electronic man?
No, not exactly. But I was trying to, you know, I think really I was thinking practically about going to school. Like, you know, like you were asking before about Jimi Hendrix. It's like, I never felt like I was going to be the performer on a single instrument. I was already too scattered. You know what I mean? Like, just trying to learn the guitar enough to like make the song I wanted to make and move on from there. And I was like, oh, but I could be an audio engineer. I think I wanted to work in studios. You know, I thought that was still, I graduated college in 2004. At that time, I thought that was still like a reasonable career path.
Yeah, but look at things now, Matt. A lot of musicians are engineers because of the technology, right? It's more econo and more accessible.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think that's
a bad
thing.
No, and that was already happening then. No.
Yeah.
Right. No, it's an amazing thing. No, it's totally amazing. But I think I was a little, naive, I guess, in that sense. I thought, like, oh, I can just keep But that's actually, that's foundational. I've always liked to subsidize my music. Like, I want my music to be something that I don't,
have
that no one has any control over. Exactly.
Right.
So I was thinking that already at that age. I was like, well, I could get a job that's, you know, music adjacent, and then that way I can like keep making my tapes. You know, that's
that's integrity. You want to keep your music autonomous and not be fucking, you know, don't, yeah. Georgie used to see somebody picking their ass, he'd go hand puppet.
Yeah.
We're at the end of second hour, November 3, 2021, this Watt Peter Show. Special guest Matt Malin. Hold tight for hour three. November 3, 2021. It's the third hour of the Walk for Pedro Show.
Thank you. have a dancing contest tonight. Who wants to come up and win one of these beautiful masks?
Dancing
these are beautiful
contest.
Phantom of the Opera.
Extra if you bring
Comedia dell'arte masks. Come on. Someone's got to come up. This song's called Pucker Up, Baby. Who's going to dance? Come on. Someone. Anyone. Guy or girl. Andy.
Don't be
Andy,
shy.
Andy,
life is too short.
Andy, come on.
This is the city. It's
Andy,
not
come
like
on.
A state.
Glasses are not. Stand right in the center. Stand right there. Stand right there. You got it. You can put it on or take it off. Wait, you get it later. You get it. Okay, you can wear it now. It's fine. Yeah. The song's called Pucker Up, Baby, and we know what we want to do with that song. Okay, put your glasses on. It's called Pucker Up, Baby.
One, two, three, four.
Pucker up, baby, gonna get a surprise. Pucker up, baby, you know I love your eyes. Pucker up, baby, give me a kiss or two.
Thank you.
stock is rising. The stock is rising. The cock is confused. And the sun refuses. Gone are the days lamenting. Gone are the days singing sad songs like this one. But nothing has changed. The stock is rising. The stock is rising. Rub-a-dub-dub. Three men in a club. These perverts will be banished. They've planted trees without fruit in my name.
So you don't take any responsibility for it, but you wield it like a kid that's found his dad's gun. It's almost so very about discovery. It's a violent penetrative act.
Stock is rising. The stock is rising. The conch is confused. The queen has. Retribution.
turn back. No, I will go. I shall go to see what the end will be. Done me my vow to the Lord, and I never will turn back. No, I will go. I shall go to see what the end will be.
Put it in the computer thing and take it out and say, well, we can do such a thing to him, son. He doesn't know. Now he's a big dummy. And he can't protect himself. Because, see, they have to have a certain number of people. Like, police have to go out and arrest a certain number of people. If they don't, they lose their job. So, you see, it's big business. Now, if Undertaker don't get a certain amount of people for his business, then he won't have any business. And if the grave diggers don't get some people to bury, they too will be put out of work. Now you have all these people stuff. If the doctors don't get somebody to cut into and all that, to say, and the drugstores don't have nobody to sell medicines to, then you throw a lot of people out of work. But you don't ever do it. You make it a very prosperous business for the doctors and the undertakers and the grave diggers. And they love you because they always have something to work on you.
Watch for Pedro Show start off third hour, Skeletons with the Masks. And Babes New York City. I say this every time, but I can't stand that band name. But I like their tunes. Pucker Up, Baby. Live. It was a live version. Ray Shin after that, How to Choose a Date. And then Skeletons, Invest in Who is Like God. So, what is your songwriting process? Do you keep a little book of words? When do the words come?
Yeah, I used to keep a little book. Now I like keep them as notes on my phone, which sounds kind of like lame, but that's how it is.
No, it's not lame. It's not lame. It's like when I asked, what was your first record? I wasn't actually talking about it. I was trying to talk bigger, right? Just something that contains music. And the same thing, like, you have a little a resource of words, a little reservoir or something, some kind of medium.
Yeah.
For one thing, I got something like that. I got a little Sony recorder, right? And it's real tiny, and I can just do little melodies and words into it, you know. Especially when your memory gets a little less as you get down the road.
That's what I was just going to say. I used to walk around with the words in my head that kind of like, that would be what I would do with my mind all day long. You know what I mean? I'd be like thinking about lines and thinking about words, and I used to not even write them down till I figured out what it was, but I don't do that anymore. I lose them too easily, and they don't come back.
No. Yeah, it's like the kite string is broke. Bye-bye. Quote the raven. Nevermore.
Yeah, see? Exactly.
So, yeah, in those days, Mr. Poe, he had to write that motherfucking shit down, right? Okay. So, and then the studio skills you acquired at Oberlin allowed you to, like, self-produce, right?
Yeah, completely. Yeah. So it's really like I tend to just start playing. You know what I mean? It's just play. It's just like I play around with the stuff until something starts to build into a song. It's the same way with a guitar or, you know, a modular synth or a software program. It's like, I'm just looking for places to play, like something that I can actually be interacting with until something starts to repeat itself and feel like something interesting.
It gets its own like kind of persona. So what you're saying is you don't really make demos. These are the actual backbones of the songs. They just keep evolving as you're adding stuff and taking stuff out.
I'm envious of people who make demos. I feel like that's real smart.
Another way, though, they are.
It gives you an opportunity to like.
But in another way, they are kind of wasting time. I guess, you know, right? They have to rebuild Rome after they already made a miniature version.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but I find myself, I get really attached to something that's like the building block of a recording, right? Yeah. And then I feel kind of stuck with it sometimes. It feels
I don't think that's a bad thing. I don't think that's a bad thing, Matt, because that means you've got a real connect with it, you know?
Yeah.
I'll tell you why, because I was just in a situation in the studio, and the guy said, just play. And the singer guy says, no, I want to get my performance with there. I know you could drop it in with Pro Tools and stuff, but I want my singing to go with that drum and that bass guitar.
You know,
the performance, right?
Yeah.
See, we might be looting. Exactly. Maybe it's too much making it easy with the technology. We lose sight of that maybe. And maybe that's what you're holding on to is those performances.
Yeah, no, it totally is. It's like that's the most important thing to me in a certain way is the like – and that's why – I like that process. I like the demos because it's like that is the most authentic version of the song in a lot of ways. You know, it's like,
you know what?
The rawest.
I had a guy on the show last week, Joey Warnicker, drummer man, and he told me he recorded with Pete Townsend. And Pete Townsend, you're literally playing on the fucking demos he makes. And he's just taking out the shit that he played, and you're, you know, he said to Joey, play your wildest, right? Because he's actually, that's the form, that's the skeleton, was that demo. It's not like, you know, something that everybody's looking at. They're actually playing to it.
Yeah, I even saw that, you ever see that Scott Walker documentary about him making, like, the most recent records that he made? Like, it's the same kind of thing. And I heard that Bowie would do that, too, like, have these, like, MIDI tracks.
Yeah.
That would just, then you'd bring the bass player in and replace the MIDI bass with something real, you know, like, and it's not too different what I do.
Wow. Trip. You gave me this, this is different. This ain't skeletons. This is humans.
Yeah, that was a one.
Well, I'm going to play it.
once or twice before. Still pretend that I don't know. I'll ask your name, but I won't remember. Should we stop now before the fun trickles up? Should we stop now? Don't spoil the look. Don't open your mouth.
Thank you.
Dr. Beaver Show, last music for this edition. We just overcame some sunspot trouble, people. Ooman's Footsteps, then Head Boggle from his new album, Rhythm Piano. Tolleman Berger with Entitled 2, and then finally, Matt Malin Under Your Own Name. Slow Dance number 0505. So enlighten us, because these are the only two tunes you gave me that ain't skeletons.
Yeah, those are well, Humans was a thing, like, kind of, I started making recordings when my wife was pregnant and we had a baby. It was like all electronic pop songs, just like sung into a mic and my laptop kind of, and it didn't feel like skeletons. So I kind of started it as a separate thing. And then the Slow Dance is my most recent record. It's just all electronic music and just the kind of stuff that goes, you know, like a way of thinking about tunes that goes back to, you know, to college a little bit, like we were talking before, like being in computer music program, working with synthesizers, modular synthesizers, stuff like that. But the way that it was released was as a deck of cards that's it's like a game piece for choreography. So like the music accompanies this like weird yoga that you can do by shuffling the cards and dealing them out.
So it's not always the same. It's randomized.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's these different shapes, these different body shapes, and then, different, sort of spirits that you can do a dance to the music, with. It's like, it's fun. It makes it kind of like a party game, but it's like a real weird one. And it's also kind of acts like a visual to pair the record with.
Sure.
I worked
with
an artist duo called Son and Zimmer here in Chicago to make it.
Oh, so it's like a collab.
It is, yeah. They did all the design, and I did the music and the photographs that are the spirits that you dance with.
And then
I'll send you a copy.
I would love it. I'd love it, Matt. And where can people find you on the internet?
At mattmehlan.com.
Okay, let's spell it for them. MATTMEHLAN.com, people.
That's right.
That's great. And probably from there you got links to other places too. What's your next plan?
Exactly.
Musically.
I'm making a record, a skeletons record right now. It's like a big epic, like, big band recordings that I had made that I've been editing and overdubbing on. And it's like a big kind of epic thing that I feel like nobody wants, right?
It's not a collection of songs. It's more like, is it a big, like, opera? Or...
Almost, yeah. It's like all one song, I would say.
Yeah, right, right. I've done three of those.
Yeah.
No, sometimes.
I love that.
Sometimes, yeah, but sometimes you can't get, you know, one song's not enough, so you need a group of songs.
Yeah.
Or parts to make one big song. I found that out. Yeah. Look, I come from the Minutemen. You know, we got this idea from Wire where the songs are like 30 seconds. I never thought I'd end up be writing these big fucking album songs. But, you know, like you were saying, life's a journey.
I've always wanted to make a record like a Minutemen-style record where the songs are like a minute and a half, minute and a quarter long. It's like that would be such a good
challenge. It was
Pink
Flag. It was 1977, and we heard this band from Wire called Pink Flag, and it was we thought, man, if we do this, no one will know that we learned from Blue Oyster Cult and Creedence. Because we felt tainted. The other punk rockers were just learning in the moment, and we had already been soiled, you know. I guess maybe not soiled, but whatever you want to call it. Anyway,
someday I'm going to do it, man, because I get the songs just get too long. I'm talking like I'm working on these like 15-12 minute minute songs. It would be such a joy to like think a little bit less durational, you know.
Well, that's the thing about, it's the closest thing we can get to being a mother, a woman, giving birth, is being a composer. Yeah, make it be so, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want it.
I will.
Well, yeah, wave that little
do it.
Composer device. You know, I'm interested in this big stuff, too. So when this new Skeletons comes out, will you come back on the show? We can play it and talk about it?
Oh, absolutely.
That would be beautiful.
Anytime.
Thank you so much, Matt. Big honor to have you aboard. Please keep on keeping on. People, November
3. Honor's all mine.
Okay, right back. November 3, 2021. Fuck what? I've been doing this 20 years and 5 months, and I'm still blowing clams. It's the November 3rd, 2021 edition of the Waffle Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.